Morning, everyone.
Hello, my name is Tim, one of the pastors here at Faith Community Church, and it really is good to be gathered with you again this week. Thank you for being here. Thanks for making this a priority for you and your family. If this is your very first time at Faith Community Church, just a special welcome to all of our guests. We really are honored to have you, and we hope that today is helpful to you. We are continuing a series this morning called Rhythms of Grace, where we're talking about habits that help us to walk in the new life that Jesus has bought for everyone who belongs to him. Imagine that you are the heir to a $1 billion fortune. $1 billion is sitting somewhere in an account with your name on it, and all you have to do is take it, but you don't know how, so you keep living like a beggar on the street somewhere, eating from trash cans and sleeping under bridges and things like that, while a fortune just sits there with your name on it. A lot of Christians live their lives like that. Jesus has promised us everything. Everything that our souls really want is already ours, but someone or something needs to teach us how to walk like that. We need to learn to live like spiritual billionaires. Well, these rhythms that we're talking about in this series are a part of doing that. This morning, we're talking about the rhythm of rest. Jesus offers us deep and abiding rest. We'll see that in the scripture this morning. And this morning, we're going to be talking about what sounds like two different things, but they're really the same. We're going to be talking about rest. We're also going to be talking about a rhythm called Sabbath. And they sound like two different things, but in the Bible, they're basically the same thing. They're synonymous. In fact, sometimes the Bible uses those two words, rest and Sabbath, interchangeably. So rest is the thing that our souls are after. It's the $1 billion. Sabbath is the rhythm that teaches us how to walk in it. It teaches us how to draw on that account. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. We'll be on page 816 if you want to borrow a Bible from under the chairs in front of you. And this is what it says. This is Jesus speaking to vast crowds of people. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If we were to keep on reading, or if you just glance down the page in your Bible, you'll see that the next two incidents are controversies about how Sabbath should be practiced then. So you see these two things, rest and Sabbath, are intimately linked in the Bible. So what do rest and what do Sabbath mean to Jesus? Well, let's start with this question. What was God doing before he created the universe? You ever thought about that? What was God doing before Genesis? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus says, "My Father loved me before the foundation of the world." There you have it. If you wanted to know what God was doing before Genesis, Jesus tells us the Father was loving the Son. And the Son was delighting in the Father. And both were loving and delighting in the Spirit and so on and so forth. Before anything else, there was deep and abiding love and relationship and companionship. And that is what rest means to Jesus. Rest is not just the absence of work. It's not just a day off. In fact, Jesus is talking about something that he enjoyed even in the midst of work. In John chapter 5, when Jesus is asked a question about the Sabbath, he says, My Father is always working, so I work too. Jesus worked really hard, and we have accounts in the Gospels that tell us sometimes he was really tired. There are stories in the Gospels that tell us about really, really long days in the life of Jesus' ministry. Yet we never get the impression that Jesus was frantic. He never seems to be late. He never seems to be in a hurry. He never seems to be worried or anything like that. Because Jesus rested in the Father all the time. And the Father was his constant delight, even when he was at work. So when Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, all those who labor, and I will give you rest," that's at least part of what he is saying. Come to me and experience the perfect love of the Father. That's what he offers. And that is rest to Jesus, is knowing the Father. Now the story of Sabbath then, the story of the rhythm of Sabbath begins in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 in beautiful and poetic language describes the creation of the universe, and we're told that God is so pleased with everything that he made that he rested. This is Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So this is the template for what the rhythm of Sabbath should look like, and you need to notice a few things. First of all, notice that God doesn't rest because he's exhausted. He rests because he's had such a great time. He's exhilarated. He doesn't rest because he's tired. He rests because he has triumphed and finished his work. Joy is the point of Sabbath. In our world, rest or a day off is one of two things. Either we pour ourselves out to our hobbies and our desires. So, you know, for us, a day off is I'm going to play video games until my eyes bleed out of my skull. Or I'm going to drink myself into a stupor. I'm going to eat myself into a stupor. I'm just going to play and distract my... A day off is just I'm going to distract myself for a whole day from the problems of my life. It's either that or the world trains us to treat rest like just a recharge for the battery. So we get a day off and it's like, I'm just going to stop working so come tomorrow I can hit it hard and keep going again. That is not what Jesus is talking about. If you want a really fun exercise, go Google how to rest more effectively. It's very eye-opening. I mean, it's all about how to pack 8 hours of rest into two so you can be ready to go again. That is not what Jesus is talking about. That's not rest according to the Bible. The joy of rest is the joy of simply being a person, of just being alive, of an awareness that you are created in God's image, that you're walking with him. You're not just running around doing things constantly. Rest in the Bible is a day where you do nothing productive at all. So, when you're lounging around in your hammock, reading your favorite book, enjoying your favorite beverage, watching your kids do absolutely nothing productive while they run around the yard, and you get that deep sigh of contentment, you are resting the way that you're supposed to be. And God wanted Israel to do this every week. When ancient cultures heard or read Genesis chapter 2, where it describes God coming and resting. In ancient cultures, the way they heard that was, God has come into his temple and sat down. And now he is going to rule over everything that he's made. He's just going to enjoy and relate to and rule over everything that he's made. That's rest. Once a week, you just sit down and enjoy everything that you have done, everything that God has done, and all the people that he has given to you. It's a gift. It's not a burden. Notice in the creation story too, that the seventh day is the only day that doesn't end. So if you read the creation story, it follows this pattern. It was the morning and then the evening of such and such day. The morning and the evening of the next day. The morning and the evening of the next day. But the seventh day never ends. Did you ever notice that? It breaks the pattern. There's a sense, the idea behind Genesis chapter 2 is that God has come into his temple. He's sat down to rest. And we're still living in the seventh day right now. Because he's still here. He's still ruling and still reigning over everything. Now, we don't live in a perfect world anymore. We don't live in Genesis 2 anymore. We're a long, long way from home. A long, long way from rest. And so God has given us the rhythm of Sabbath while we make the journey to remind us of three things. He wants us to remember who rules the universe. He wants us to remember who has rescued us. And he wants us to remember who restores us. So let's look at each of those one at a time. Rest reminds us that God still rules. Look at what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus knows that there is a deep restlessness in the human heart. He calls it a labor. Some of your translations will say, come to me, all you who are weary. You ever been weary? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, part of that weariness comes because we constantly forget that we do not rule the universe and that we do not control things. We are not in control of the future. We're not in control of other people. We're not in control of the outcomes of our children. We can't control our spouses. We can't control what other people think of us. I mean, think about how little you actually have control over. It's all I can do to be in control of me. And that's the one thing I'm supposed to be in control of. And when we forget who rules, we start saying no to rest because we're telling ourselves, if I rest, if I stop micromanaging my kids today, if I don't take care of these emails today, if I don't solve problem X, Y, or Z in my home, at work, or someplace else, the world is going to fall apart. It's going to spin out of control. If I don't do blank, it won't be done right. Have you ever said that or thought that? An entrepreneur in our congregation approached me between services. And she said, when you're an entrepreneur, everything does depend on you. You are the business. I know what she means. My parents owned their own business. And so she said to me, that's why the practice of Sabbath has become even more important to me. Because I can easily forget that I actually don't control everything at work. Do you really believe that if you rested regularly, that the world would spin out of control? Listen to why God wanted Israel to keep the rhythm of Sabbath. This is the very first time, Exodus chapter 20, the very first time that Israel is commanded to keep Sabbath, and it says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who's within your gates. For, underline that, circle that, for in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. He's still ruling. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God told Israel, you need to rest every week because I still rule the universe. I am still in control. And if you don't rest, you're going to forget and start to think someone else does, in particular, you. Does the idea of ceasing from work and ceasing from worry for a whole day every week seem idiotic to you and naive? I mean, this is the 21st century. You're getting emails right now while you sit here. You probably have texts rolling in. Does the idea of just stopping and turning off your phone and not answering email every week, does that seem just puritanical and just strange to you? Do you say to yourselves from time to time, if I don't do thus and such, it will not be done right? If that is you, Jesus has awesome news for you this morning. Are you ready? You matter. You matter. And you are loved. But you do not hold the world together. Jesus does. And his invitation to you is, come to me, and would you just let me hold the universe together today? Just for one day. I began... So my family growing up were faithful Sabbathers. My parents, faithfully observed a Sabbath every week. Every Sunday was a time of rest sacred to the Lord, set apart for him. We hung out with family. We ate potlucks with the church. We played As kids, my brothers and I, we were free to do anything we wanted within the bounds of the law of Wisconsin. And it was every Sunday, my parents took a nap. We used to laugh about it. We called it their Sunday coma. Now that I'm a parent, I understand what the deal was there. Every week. And nothing, you couldn't schedule anything. We hung out with friends. We hung out with family. We spent time with the church. And we rested. And we were farmers. I mean, there's always more to do. We didn't do any work beyond the normal chore routine. And you never disturbed the Sunday coma. You better have a bone sticking out of your arm if you come knocking on the bedroom door, right? And I thought that was really normal. Growing up, I just thought that's how everybody was. Now I know better. So in my junior year, when I left home and I just kind of forgot all that. And in my junior year, is that my toughest year academically at school. A lot of group work, trying to arrange four schedules to get anything done. I was the leader of a campus ministry at that time, and I was getting fried, totally fried. And so I decided it was time to reach back into my childhood and pull out this rhythm called Sabbath. So in my junior year of college, I began marking off, for me, it was 24 contiguous hours from dinner Saturday night to dinner Sunday night, and then I'd get back to work. But every week, I would just rest, spend time with friends, play volleyball, take walks, watch the Packer game, whatever I wanted to do, whatever was restful for me and reminded me that I was a human being and not at the center of the world, that's what I began to do. And every Saturday evening, I would sit down with my planner. We had paper planners back then. And I would take my to-do list, which was unfinished, and close it up and just say, okay, Lord, it's Saturday evening. You have asked me to rest. So for the next 24 hours, this is yours, okay? And I'm going to go rest. Time after time after time after time, I saw God do amazing things in response to rest. Sabbath is a public declaration of confidence in God. We're saying to the world and to our boss and to our clients and to our kids and to ourselves, I do not rule the world. And if I rest, the world will actually keep spinning and good things will actually continue to happen in my company, in my children's lives, and in my own life, even while I rest, because I'm not God. And it's really good news. We rest because Jesus rules. Second, resting reminds us about who ultimately rescues us. Here's another reason that God wanted Israel to keep Sabbath. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses is reminding Israel why they must keep a day of rest, and he says, I want you to do all your work in 6 days and then rest, and here's why he says in verse 15, so that you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God wanted them to stop every week so that they wouldn't forget. You did not rescue yourself. I did everything in Egypt. All you did was sit there, and I brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now, Jesus has come along, and he gets to say to you and I, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, because he is the newer, the truer, and the greater Exodus. What Jesus has done in the cross, in nailing our sin to death, is to finally set us free from the only thing that can ultimately destroy us, and we are free. We are free, and you didn't lift a finger to get it done. And every time you rest, you are remembering, as you lay in your hammock, enjoying that book and that beverage, every time you remember, this is how I was set free, by resting in Jesus. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Jesus simply set me free. I don't know what your lives are like. I mean, I've got house projects coming out of my ears. The lawn always needs to be mowed again. There are always leaves to rake. I mean, there's just always something to do. And every week, this Sabbath time I've cut out comes around, and I want to get it all done to justify my existence. What are my neighbors going to think, right? And every week I have to remember, I cannot justify my existence. I'm here because I belong to Jesus. He is my whole life, and he asks me to rest in that. That's why God wanted Israel to remember Sabbath. I know sin. I'm like super familiar with it. I know what it is like to wonder if I am ever going to change. I know what it's like to wonder what God must really think of me. Sabbath comes along every week and reminds me all of my hope rests in Jesus alone and not in what I do or don't do, because Jesus has done it all. And that's why Jesus can say, come to me and rest. Who talks like that? If I said that to you, Cora, come to me and I will give you, what would you do? Mom, Dad, I'm concerned about Pastor Tim. I think he's lost his mind. Who talks this way? Nobody gets to talk this way unless it's real. Come to me, Jesus says. I have done everything. It is the seventh day. The work is done. There is no more to do, and I rule. Come and rest. Finally, Sabbath was given to remind us of who restores us. This is so interesting. Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And then he immediately says what? Here's a yoke. Come to me, everyone who's weary and tired of laboring, and I'm going to put a yoke on you. That doesn't sound like a day off. A yoke is an instrument of work. If you don't know what a yoke is, it's basically a wooden beam that you put on the necks of animals to help them work more fruitfully. Jesus' invitation is, come, take this boundless energy that you are pouring out into your worry and your concern and your work and your fear. Let me channel that energy into something new. Let me channel that energy into service in my kingdom. When the image of a yoke is applied to people in the Bible, it is always an image of being conquered. That's the invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me conquer you. Let me win. And I will give you rest for your souls because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, whose yoke is it, everybody? Whose yoke is it? It's Jesus' yoke. So if you have this picture in your mind of come to Jesus, he's going to fit you with this, you know, wooden beam across your neck, and then he's going to kick behind you and say, okay, horsey, you know, whoops, let's go. That is not what it says. He says, come, I'm going to put my yoke on you, meaning I'm already in it. I'd like you to join me. You ever seen two oxen hooked together in a yoke? They always take, you know, when you have a young ox who doesn't know what he's doing, they always hook him up to a big, strong, old ox who knows what he's doing and knows how to walk in a straight line. So the little ox is like, over here, and the old ox is just like, it's okay, let's keep going, keep going, keep going. That is the picture that Jesus has of rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll have rest for your souls, because I'm already in the furrow. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I haven't already done, and I'm doing all the work. You just get to be with me. Just come along with me, and let me teach you. Come and learn from me. I'm going to show you how to do what I've called you to do. That's what he means when he says, my burden is easy. My yoke is light because I've already done it all. So get your head in here and let's go. Let me win. Let me conquer you. Is your soul troubled today? Is your soul weary? Are you searching for something and you don't even have a name for it? Come to Jesus. His invitation is very broad. He's speaking to massive crowds and he says, come to me all. Come to me everyone whose soul is weary. Let me conquer you and I'll give you rest. Have you let Jesus conquer you this morning? Has there ever been a point in your life when you came to the end of yourself finally and you said, Jesus, I need rest. Please, hook me up. I don't want to be straggling all over the place anymore. That's what it means to be a Christian. Come to Jesus this morning. If you carry a weight of shame and sin, if you're really, really glad that no one here knows what you were doing last night, come to Jesus. Come and find rest for your souls. One last thing about this rhythm called Sabbath. You may be saying to yourself, okay, Tim, this is all great, but we are not Old Testament Israel. Jesus is the rest that they were waiting for and that we have now. And there are places like Hebrews chapter 4, and even the next two chapters in Matthew, if you were to keep reading more, it's pretty clear. Jesus is the Sabbath. Jesus is what it was all about. And the Bible actually warns us now in Colossians chapter 2. The Bible warns us, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in how you rest. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you in how you Sabbath. We're not to be in each other's business about, hey, I saw you carrying that heavy box the other day. You're supposed to be resting. You know, the Bible actually warns us about those things. That's what you're thinking this morning. You're right. And you could make that case about any external practice in the Christian life. And yet Christians have observed Sabbath for thousands of years. Why is that? In Ezekiel chapter 20, The prophet Ezekiel is speaking to Israel and telling them why they lost their rest. He's telling them why they were removed from the promised land and sent into exile. And he says to them, it's a long, you can read it on your own. We don't have time to read it together today. But basically he says, you began treating the Sabbath like every other day of the week. You profaned it. You treated it like a common thing. And when you did that, you forgot. Because you failed to observe Sabbath, you forgot that I actually ruled the world. You forgot that I rescued you. And when you forgot me, then you started looking for other things to save you. That's when you started wandering after other gods. And that's why you don't have rest. Sabbath is a rhythm that helps us to remember. So the question, I think, is not one of legalism. What can I do and not do? What day do I do it or not do it? How long should it be? Does it need to be 24 hours? All of those questions are interesting, but it misses the point. The question that has to be answered is, do you think that you and your household are less likely to forget God than Israel was? Do you think that you and your household are less likely to forget who rules the universe? Do you think that you are less likely to forget what Jesus has done for you than Israel did? I can't answer that question for you, but I will say for the people who live in my house, including this guy, we're at least as likely. We are at least as distracted. And so we need a rhythm not to forget. Every week, Sabbath comes along and says, you're going to set aside time, preferably 24 contiguous hours, but that's not a law you need to observe. You're going to set aside time to produce absolutely nothing. And you are just going to be a person, a human being. And you're going to remember that you do not rule the universe. You did not rescue yourself, and everything that you are is because of Jesus. You're going to eat potluck dinners and watch TV and sit in hammocks and go for walks and spend time with people you love because that is what I made you to do. And your job is really, really important, but it can wait one day every week. In my house, we try to turn our phones off. Now, we still have parents, just like you do, right, who call. So that's fine. But, you know, most phones have a setting. You can set it to only my favorite people call me. So I know I'm on your list. But only certain people can call you. I shut off the little dingy thing, you know, so it's on vibrate and it's not dinging all the time. I try not to check my email on those days. And I just spend time with the people God's given me to spend time with. Spend time with the church. All right, I'll invite the worship team to come up and help us as we close. You know, a couple of months ago, we had a sermon called Why We Sing. We said one of the reasons that we sing, like we're about to right now, is that music is one of the ways that the word of Christ dwells among us richly. Right now, Anna is going to lead us in a song called Everything. It's from Lauren Daigle. I want you to listen to the words. Almost every phrase in this song was lifted right out of Scripture. There's probably 25 scriptures in here. And I want you to just listen and remember and hear again that Jesus has done everything, and there's no one like him. You're welcome to sing if you want, but we're going to have you actually just sit during this song. You get to sit and enjoy. We're going to begin practicing Sabbath right now if you're unfamiliar with it. Sit and remember who rules, who rescues, who restores you, and just let it speak. And if you're here this morning and your soul is weary, come to Jesus. If you have never said yes to Jesus, come now. Come and say, I know that I have not been trusting in you and following after you. And I'm sorry, and I believe that what you've done on the cross is sufficient to cover my sin and save my soul. And I ask for your help right now to follow after you. Would you hook me up in your yoke? I want to learn from you and follow you. Well, I commend to you then the rhythm of Sabbath rest. A day every week set aside to the Lord just to remember who it is that rules, who it is that rescues us, and who it is that restores us. I was having a conversation this week with a couple that is fairly new to Faith Community Church. They've been around less than a year, and they're just sort of on the journey, just kind of trying to figure out what it is that they believe and what it means to follow Jesus. And they made this comment. They said, one thing we've noticed about being around Faith Community Church is that everything is about Jesus at Faith Community Church. You talk about him all the time. I said, yep, we sure do. Because everything is about Jesus. And if you are here this morning and you are in that boat, you are just trying to figure things out. You're just wondering what all of this is about, what all of this is about, what all of this is about. Look for Jesus. Find him. He says, if you seek him, you'll find him. So seek him this week. If you have any questions about what we've talked about today, I'll be here. I'd love to talk with you and meet with you. Larry Zyman's in our Connection Center, and he knows everything about everything. So you can ask him any question that you want, and he'll be able to help you. We have people ready to pray with you. Brett and Jennifer are here to pray with you. Have a great afternoon. Let me send you out with this from 1 Thessalonians. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. What a promise. Go home. Your homework is to do nothing. Okay? Go home and rest. High school students, don't even do homework. Tell mom and dad, Pastor Tim said, I got to rest today, okay? Everybody, college students, everybody, just have a great afternoon, and we'll see you next week.